As you and I continue our walk and continue understanding who we are in Christ, perhaps maybe we need to look also and see who Christ is in us. You and I, those who have accepted Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior of our life, we're living in a generation of trial and tribulation, not unlike the first century church. We are witnessing today such a recession in the church that the remission of the gospel of Jesus Christ is seen. We're very remiss in the gospel. Give you this stat again. It'll let you know where we are. In the United States today, we have 4,000 church starts annually. Now, I've told you this before. I just want you to listen to me this time. 4,000 church starts annually. And people said, that is so great, until we recognize there are 7,000 churches per year closing their door. That's a 3,000 deficit with churches. Why? Why is the Word of God all of a sudden become so unpopular? Why has the Word of God that keeps you and I and sustains us in our everyday actions, why has the Word of God been pushed out of God's house? Now, doesn't it feel amazing today when you're going to be hearing this on the news, you probably already have, about the big battle with pastors preaching the gospel and the IRS telling them not to. And in October, all these churches are getting together. They've called the IRS to let them know they are going to preach that abortion is murder and it is sin. They are going to preach that homosexuality is sin. They're also going to preach that heterosexual promiscuity is sin. Thus saith the Lord thy God. None of us who have been called to preach have a right not to proclaim the truth of God. It is His word. It is His Son that He sent that you and I might have eternal life. God watched His Son die for truth and for love. And you and I have received that love, that special touch from God the Father through God the Son. I know that Jesus went to the cross for me. I know that Jesus went to the cross for whosoever will, let them come. For years and years, I have watched it, started in the 60s. The moral decline of America. Soon, and it didn't take long, our young folk are pulled away from church. And I have parents that say, well, I want them to make a decision on their own. Okay, tell them to pick out what they want to wear. Whoever you are, come as you are whenever you can. That's our invitation at this church. So if they want to make a decision, if they're young and they're in under your roof and you are a Christian, you don't ask, Randy, Jeff, boys, do y'all want to go to church today? That didn't happen, I can tell you. You're going. If I'm going to church, you're going to church. And no, now think of that. Why would it be done? Out of love. Do I love my son? Do I love my grandson? Absolutely, no doubt about it. But friends, listen. Love is an action verb. It's expressed through action. Therefore, I love my son. I love my grandson. I love my congregation. I love people. So because I love, I'm not going to lead them in the wrong direction. I'm not going to sit back and watch a nation crumble that many of us fought for that freedom, that we can come to God's house and worship the way the Holy Spirit leads us to worship without the United States government sticking their head in on it. And I don't care whether they're Republican, Democrat, independent, vegetarian, or anything else. It doesn't matter. Folks, I'm talking about the basic morals of a nation. And if the Christian will not stand up, who will? You and I are dealing today with this evil, physical, verbal emotion against each one of us. Why? It's an abuse. Christians see today that we're being abused. I don't care what other religion there is. It's okay as long as you're not Christian. Cannot the pastors understand that we're to stand for the word of God, not for the rule of man? If we go to jail for doing that, then so be it. But isn't it time that Christians start standing up and speaking out? Are we so afraid of what's going to happen to us that we refuse to proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord thy God"? Are we that frightened? And if we're not that frightened, we need to stand up and we need to speak out. But the pastors also need to be ready and willing to go to jail if so. If this is against the law, for me to tell you abortion is wrong, for me to tell you homosexuality is wrong, it is sin, for me to tell you heterosexual promiscuity is wrong, if that is going to send me to jail, I want to go. Folks, you and I have an obligation, but my obligation is based in love. I am obliged, given the charge by God, to love. And if I love, I'm going to tell folk how not to fall into the traps of life. I'm going to let you know there's a big sinkhole up here. I'm going to let you know that there's fire right around that next curve. I'm going to let you know. Why? Because I love you. We do our children no favors when the only answer coming from our mouth is yes. They need to hear no more often. If you know it's going to hurt them, explain it to them. Will they absorb it? No. They will do what you and I did at the same age. And I learned this the other day. I thought it was real cool because, you know, you use it and people think you know what you're talking about. It is the lack of frontal lobe development where the reason is. And I was asked when I was, you know, smarting off about that, how do you know that? And I said, I watch Bones. Oh, she's got it, don't she? All of that stuff. And so I learned that from television. Yeah, got to be true. That's just like the internet, right, Randy? If it's on the internet, it's got to be true. Well, folks, let me tell you what is true. What's in that book called the Bible? Now, the words in the Bible are the words of God. So therefore, the words that you and I have come from our mouth should be from the Word of God. You and I need to stand. We'll fall if the enemy knocks us down. We will hurt. We will bleed. But by the power of Christ, he'll either say, "Stand up, Larry. Good gracious, I thought you were a Marine. Stand up." Or he'll say, "Come on home. You're mine. A winner anyway it goes." But when we ask the question, why are Christians being so physically, verbally, and emotionally abused? It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. And so many have caught on to that. Well, if I say I'm a Christian, but I don't mention Jesus, I'll be pretty safe here at work. If I say I'm a Christian and really don't start sharing the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'll be okay. So therefore, I will have one foot in the world and the other foot in heaven. One of those feet's going to be amputated. The world will do it as soon as they catch your children. Kids, young folk will look and everything seems so glamorous. The party going, it's okay. You know, I'm a college student. That's the way we act. I never did understand how we've decided. I guess it's the frontal lobe thing again. I never understood how we decided that everything is okay through college. Well, if it's so okay, how come so many are dropping out? How come so many problems? How come, folks, that we have 22 veterans per day committing suicide? How come? Is it not the war that is truly raging? Is it not what you and I see on a daily basis? Is not the world the one that has taken our children and told them the great lie, making it sound like it's the truth? Isn't that what's going on? Had to come to the point where each of us understand that the law right now says that your child can have an abortion without you even being told about it, or your child can be given something that's going to abort a child and you don't even know they're doing it? You tell me that God's not paying attention? When it is God Almighty who sent His Son, and His Son told us Himself that you would be better off to have a rock tied around your necks and drowned in the deepest part of the ocean than to even bring an offense against a child. And we're watching the slaughter of the unborn. We're watching the mutilation of the children that are born. Look throughout the world. What's going on with Christians? Do we turn the TV off where we don't see the slaughter because they profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have we fallen so far, church, to where we're so much more afraid of man than we are in love with the Word of God? Now, the Word of God is going to sustain me, any of us who allow our life to be handed over to Christ. And when death no longer frightens you, you speak the truth of God. What's going on? Let me read Luke 6, 22 and 23 to you. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. If you're a Christian, I want you over here and keep your mouth shut. All other religions, you're okay, because we only have to worry about the radical Islam. The whole religion is radical, and we know it. I serve a God who tells me to love, not to slaughter. I serve a God who says, preach the gospel, Larry Pete. And I will touch the heart. I will convict. And whosoever will, they will come, preach the gospel. But if they will not hear it, I'm never to harm them. And if they mock Christianity, I am to pray for them. And I feel sorry for them. But I'm never called by the God that I serve to slaughter people because they don't believe. Because that is not an order from the God of the universe. It's only an order from those who worship idols and men who have died. They continue to worship. Why is Christianity so distasteful? Well, the world says, and the Bible tells us, they're distasteful because the gospel is too simple. It's the simplicity. You Christians, all you talk about is who Jesus is. Well, you've got to do 1, 2, 3. Folks, I fell to my knees and asked Christ to come into my heart. How could I redo what he had already done? Why would I now abandon my Lord? What? For money? Why? For money. Seems like it's not worth what it used to be anyway, is it? And I guarantee you, can't use it in heaven. And if you're going to hell, it'd be burn up. You know, here's the sad thing. When God places in my heart such a period that we're going through to where each one of our young folk can make a difference now in the nation that God has given us. The greatest nation in the whole world. I've had people say, why do you leave 4th of July banners and all up? We do that every year. We'll take them down when the next Thanksgiving or something's coming on. You know why? God gave us the United States of America. I'm proud of the United States of America, and I'm proud of the freedom that we've received because of so many that have given their life for this freedom and those who are willing to give their life. And we pay honor to those who serve, and we pay honor to God because he allows us. Will we turn our back on the truth of God and accept the lie of man just for the convenience of this life? Once you get it, you'll find it's not that convenient. When we sell out, and I'm talking about we, the Christian nation, the Southern Baptist, or whatever we are, when we sell out the word of God for tradition, it is sin. When you and I no longer recognize that it's through the blood of Christ that we have hope, that's sin. It can't be any other. And we cannot stand in the pulpit that God has placed us in and say, oh yeah, don't worry, there's another way to heaven. No, there's not. His name is Jesus. He is the only way. And without accepting Christ as Lord and Savior in our life, if we don't serve him here, what makes you think you're going to serve him in heaven? If we do not lift Christ up here, he said he will not lift us up before his Father in heaven. Jesus said that. So what are we doing? We're saying, no, okay, that's fine. I'll keep quiet about who Jesus is. I cannot do that. He is my life. Death doesn't exist for a Christian anyway, so why would I be worried about it? Christian, listen. Take the verbal abuse. Listen to it. The physical treatment, the emotional treatment that we get because of our faith in Christ, you count that as a badge of honor. That's a gift direct from God to you. It's a badge of honor. I was listening this past week also, and listening to so many news commentators coming on and talking about the horrors that's going on overseas. On a lot of the stations you will listen to, you will not hear that it's the Christian slaughter. They're not going to bring it out. It's other religions, they call it, that are being destroyed or murdered or slaughtered. I read the story, the book of my life. It was a story direct from God to you and to me. It's called the Bible, His Holy Word. And in that Bible and His Holy Word, He says, let me give you a picture of what's to come. Let me show you in your heart and in your spirit the evil that exists. The world is not mad at you or me. They really aren't. They're controlled by their God, Satan himself. And Satan hates Jesus, and he can't touch him. But he can touch us. They cannot touch the triunity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Satan still has that power, if we allow him to have, over their human existence. It's a war, a great battle that you and I fight every day of our life. The battle that rages inside of us of good versus evil. It's a battle of life. We act like as soon as we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, everything's going to be perfect, or someone has told us that. It's not going to be perfect, and the closer you walk with Jesus, the more hell you're going to catch. And Satan himself is going to be the one throwing it. That's reality. And when we Christians finally get back to reality of life and start saying, I will not turn my back on who Jesus is. I will stand up and I will proclaim His holy name. I will tell the story. The gospel is simple. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't memorize any other verse in the Bible, memorize John 3:16. Within the heart of those who love God, within the heart of the individuals who have received that blessing and that calling, there is a great, great battle going on. If today I trip up and fall into a trap, or you do, I am to go down and pick you up, help dust you off out of the ditch of life, not allowed to step on you, and not allowed to say, oh, they must not have been Christian, look what they've done. That's not Bible. When are we going to start living the truth of Christ? When the Bible tells me that I am to weep at birth and rejoice at death in a younger age, I thought that doesn't sound right. Now I know, because life itself is full of battles. But here's a key for each of us. Life is not full of battles that have not already been won for us. Life is full of battles within our own life that you and I refuse to accept that Jesus has already conquered for us. And those are the battles that are pulling us down. Oh, you know, people don't like me, so I'm going to quit mentioning Jesus. Maybe some of those people that you think don't like you, you're the only Bible. It is your life they're looking at when you profess to be a Christian, and they want to hear the word, but they're too weak to openly say, "Will you tell me the story?" So what you do is tell it anyway. If you're with someone, several of them, and you start speaking, and you start sharing the word of Christ, and they look like they have a blank stare, you might think you're in a Baptist church. That's the world, folks. That's the real life. But you and I have been given the call, not just me. I know my calling. Each of us have been given a specific call. And all of us have been given a multiplicity of talents. Everything I've been given to give. I know that. Everything that God blesses me with, I am to use to bless someone else. Is that not the word? What greater gift could I give a congregation or my friends, my loved ones, than to be ready and willing to stand and give my life? But you see, Jesus has already done that. Jesus has already done that. Do you know how that you and I are to give our life to Christ today? When you surrender to the Word of God, the ones you call friend will no longer be there. The majority, if not all, will walk away from you. They'll either think you've lost your mind or you're one of those religious nuts. And they're probably true statements. I lost my mind when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. It is not my mind that proclaims the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that is within me that will proclaim the Word of God. When you said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the whole battle in life for you is this: how much of Jesus am I going to show the world that lives in me? I'm saved. What do I do? Throw up my arms and say, "Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to take a break in life. I'm going to go on and retire." A preacher has no right to retire from preaching. I see why they do from the pastorate. But they don't have that right. I don't have that right. The greatest blessing, and everyone knows it, that I'll receive is if God calls me home right here in the pulpit. Some of you all get a little nervous if that happens. But what a blessing, isn't it? Isn't it a joy? Well, folks, have the joy in Christianity. Is America dead? No! America's not dead. Well, are we being overrun? And can we be overrun? No! You know why? Somewhere along the line, the born-again believers in Jesus Christ are going to wake up and stand up, and you'll watch God do the battle. You will see the proclamation of the Word and the power of His Word. God is quite capable of taking care of Himself. He told me and you to proclaim His truth and the truth of salvation through His Son, Jesus. And the book, it lets me know He's already fought all the battles. I'm already a winner like any other Christian. I am called by God to come and go here or go there and stand there. And then He said, "Wait," I say, "wait upon the Lord." What's my problem? Don't want to wait. There's a message, our Lord. It's like having greater than having the cure for cancer and keeping it inside. Christian, you have inside your heart the cure. You have inside of your heart eternal life. You have been blessed by God to be given the fountain of youth that all are looking for. And you won't find it in Botox. Youth is in the heart. At some point, the trumpet will sound. And at some point in my existence, I will hear the call, come home. And I guarantee you, when you hear that call, you will be so excited, sorrow will be gone from you. Because you're looking face to face to at perfection. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is not Buddha. His name is not Hare Krishna. His name is not Mohammed. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Therefore, you and I must take the truth. Don't fear what the world will throw at you. A promise Jesus made to me and to you is this: I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. If you confess me before man, I also will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you will not profess me before man, I will not profess you before my Father in heaven. Folks, we have a Father in heaven. His name is Jesus. Have the Christians lost? Have we stood back so long at a distance? We're afraid to get back to the foot of the cross. Thus saith the Lord thy God, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord. Everyone, those who say there is no God, spend all their time trying to destroy Christians because we say we worship a God they said doesn't exist. Foolishness. I do not know God's path for me for tomorrow. But I know my calling for today. In the path of today, it will be the same for tomorrow. I just don't know what obstacles will be there. My path is to tell the truth about who Jesus is and to lift his name above all others. And when you do that, they will threaten to kill you. Long line they got to wait in. Christian, we are the army of God. But this army of God is to stand for the principle of what God has given us. God says to you and me, I've given you my Son, the greatest gift that could ever be given to anyone. What more can I give? I've given you salvation through my Son. I've told you that I will send my holy angels to watch after you. And he warned the parents, listen up. The angels, plural, of the children report to God on a daily basis. Do I believe that? Sure, I believe that. Anybody that's ever been in combat knows that. We now are looking at the greatest evil and the greatest army of man, the human race, that's ever been known. When we have our own government and people standing up against us because we're Christians. I got news for you. The world may stand up against us, but we are to introduce them to Jesus when they stand there. Jesus, would you handle this one for me? Step back and watch God. You see, I don't have to slaughter people in the name of the God I serve. I was commanded to love them. How could I slaughter them? How could I laugh at another religion when I know outside of Jesus Christ there's no hope? I am to warn them, but I'm never allowed by God's word to back off from His truth to pacify them. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the blessings and the joy of salvation. Oh Lord, touch our life as individual Christians. We know, Father, that You're paying so close attention to what's going on. Forgive us, Father, as Your servants that we have backed away. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for the weakness of the human condition. But I ask, Father, that You will bless each one of Your children this hour. And as we stand strong for Your truth and all that You've called us to stand for, I pray, Heavenly Father, that in that truth the world will see love. And in accepting that love, they will find the true meaning of who God Himself truly is. We ask Your blessing now, Father, as each of us make commitments. Commitments in the name of Your Son to Your service. Touch each heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.